Chapter 5, The Great Assembly. One day, Jonathan's work brought him to the northern part of the kingdom. After his duties were completed, he decided to surprise Chuck with a visit. As Jonathan was making his way there, he passed many homes where he could hear joyful music flowing out of the windows and doors that were open. While at other houses, he could hear people talking, laughing, and just enjoying each other's company. The city was always filled with life, and the heirs of the kingdom lived there and enjoyed it to the fullest. Jonathan thought to himself, "Only God could create a city filled with so much life, joy, and peace." He finally arrived at Chuck's house and knocked on the door. As the door opened, a smile came upon Chuck's face as he said, "Hey, brother, come on in." As Jonathan entered, he scanned the room to see how the Lord blessed him in his eternal home. As he looked around the room, he noticed all the books that filled every nook and cranny. To his left were three very large bookcases with chairs, couches, and end tables between them. Jonathan thought that there must be thousands upon thousands of books on those shelves. "Check this out," Chuck said. "I have Bibles from every generation, culture, and language." Jonathan walked over and looked at the books. Every inch of the bookcase was filled from top to bottom. He recognized some of the titles, such as The Pilgrim's Progress, Fox's Book of Martyrs, Hind's Feet on High Places, hymnals, and other literature from every century and culture. Many of the books he knew were not from the old world, but had been written there by other saints in the kingdom. "Wow, this is quite a collection. You always enjoyed reading and writing, and it looks like that joy followed right here into the kingdom." "Indeed, I love reading and writing and trying to uncover the mysteries of our God. You know the saying, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out what is hidden is man's desire. I find it fun and exciting. It has given me great joy when the Lord tells me where to dig for his treasures, those pearls of great price. He has also given me the opportunity to share these hidden things with others. So, how do you determine what to read and what to seek out?" Jonathan asked. "The Lord always puts it on my heart, or he hands me a particular book and asks me to read it. Once read, we discuss it, and he teaches me as he leads me into more of his grace. He uses the old as well as the new. Many of the writings of the saints are found in the kingdom, and many, many revisions have been made as they see their errors come to light. I guess it is a continual work in progress," Chuck added jokingly. "It's funny how the Lord directs our lives according to our gifts. The same gifts we had on earth followed us right on into eternity. It's amazing how our earthly ministries prepared us for our heavenly work," Jonathan added. "My knowledge is growing more and more as I'm learning so many things about him. Just to learn of his attributes will take all of eternity. How can I begin to grasp the depths of his love and faithfulness, which reaches deeper than the deepest seas? How can I begin to even scratch the depths of his mercy? I have all of eternity to study the depths of his being. This is grace being built upon grace. It's interesting how we've been made perfect, and yet God's work in us continues. With great joy and pleasure, we learn more and more without the thorns and thistles of that old world. Look at the gift of music that many of the saints had in the old world, and the joy which they had in leading worship. Now it's those very same people who are called to sing the Lord's praises at many of our gatherings, even before the great assembly. I'll bet they never expected to continue to learn, practice, and grow in their musical gifts." Jonathan said, "Look at our other brothers and sisters who had the gift of teaching and preaching and were called to be shepherds of the flock. Now they are declaring God's wonderful grace in various gatherings all over the kingdom. All of our gifts have followed us into eternity, and we are growing in them as we are called to use them. Suddenly, a trumpet could be heard throughout the entire kingdom as it blasted. It blasted again and then again for a third time. It was the call for the entire kingdom to gather for worship. At the sound of the trumpet blasts, Jonathan and Chuck headed toward the great hall. They traveled the 200 or 300 miles quickly. The whole kingdom was on the move, all heading in the same direction. As they came in sight of the building, Jonathan watched as millions upon millions of people were entering. Chuck tapped Jonathan on the shoulder and motioned for him to look up. A great smile fell upon his face as he watched millions upon millions of angels flying in from every direction of the kingdom. They seemed to cover the sky as they flew overhead and gracefully glided down in order to walk into the great hall and mingle with all the saints. Chuck and Jonathan walked through the massive wooden doors, which were about 50 feet wide and 200 feet high. They found their seats in the great hall and waited for the service to begin. The hall was stretched out in every direction, farther than any earthly eye could see. Even the ceiling seemed endless in height and breadth. People entered from every direction and found their seats facing a throne that was made of pure gold, which was high and lifted up so that every eye could see it. The entire kingdom was now seated together, from the lowly pauper to the great kings and queens of old. Whole families sat together, sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, and grandparents to the 5th, 6th, 10th, and even 50 generations back. All of God's people throughout the ages were gathered together. No walls of denomination or separation of any kind could be seen. Everyone who was there, who called on the name of the Lord as their inheritance, and none were disappointed. Suddenly, a man stepped forward and stood in front of the great assembly. No one wondered who this man was. Everyone knew him as the earthly prophet Moses. Moses raised his hands and hushed the crowd. Then he cried out in a voice that could be heard clearly and distinctly over the millions of people that gathered in the great hall. Moses said, "You have not come to that mountain of old which can be touched, that which was burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Back then, at Mount Sinai, if even an animal touched the mountain, it was stoned. The sight was so terrifying that I said, 'I am trembling with fear.'" Moses stepped back, and another man stepped forward, whom everyone knew was the Apostle Paul. He raised his hands and cried out, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Suddenly, from the throne came a brilliant, dazzling light that flooded the entire assembly. High above, somewhere in the expanse of the endless ceiling, came flashes of lightning followed by cracks of thunder. Every eye looked up at the amazing display of God's mighty power. Then a long trumpet blast sounded from the four corners of the massive hall, and four heavenly creatures came forward and declared in a loud voice, "He who sits on the throne is the light of the world, and his gospel has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, the Blessed One. He is the stone the builders rejected, but he has become the capstone, the cornerstone, and all the heavens delight in him. Who is this sitting on the throne? It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was overcome death and Hades, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our God and Savior. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord." Then the four living creatures fell down and worshipped. Cheers arose from all over the massive hall. In the distance, a familiar song began to play, and the great assembly started to sing. People were standing with their hands lifted high in worship, while others had their eyes closed and their faces were shining with splendor, reflecting the love that was written on their hearts. The worship was alive, real, filled with the Spirit's power. The instruments thundered throughout the hall in perfect unity. The words flowed from the hearts of the heavenly host like a dam bursting forth and flooding the valleys below. Their praises went up like sweet incense before the throne where the King of the ages was sitting. When the song was over, the Lord himself stepped down from the throne, and his presence seemed to fill the entire hall. As he began to speak, his voice reminded Jonathan of the sound of gentle waves rolling onto the seashore. His voice was so gentle and peaceful to every heart, so much so that a great peace enveloped their very being. He said, "Welcome, my beloved, my treasured possession. You are my garden of delight. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. You are my church, my bride, and I presented you to myself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. You are holy and blameless. I fulfilled all my good promises, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you passed through the waters, I was with you. And when you passed through the rivers, they did not sweep over you. When you walked through the fire, you did not get burned. The flames did not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. Consider the mold from which you came. From the very beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. I created man in my own image. I blessed him and said, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' I saw everything that I had made, and it was very good. In the beauty of my creation, a dark blackness dawned, and evil crept in. Your vanquished enemy, that ancient serpent, the devil, Satan, entered in and deceived your first parents, causing them to sin and rebel against me, their fountain of delight. Sin then entered in their hearts and enslaved them. The chains of death began to hold them fast. But a remedy was already in my heart. Sin did not stop at the garden, but it spread like a wildfire and entered the heart of every man, woman, and child throughout the ages. From that first sin, the river of death and separation began. It caused all mankind to sin and fall short of my glory. From the beginning, I watched how great man's wickedness on earth had become, so that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was evil. I was grieved, that I had created man on the earth, and my heart was filled with great sadness. So I said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in my eyes. Like Noah, who sits before you today, you also have found favor in my eyes. It was in my heart to save, to redeem, to love, and to make right what was wrong. For you are my very own. It was my desire and great pleasure to pursue you, in spite of your sins. For I am your redeemer and friend. My call of repentance and the forgiveness of sins started in ancient times and continued right up to the day of my coming. I was calling a people to be my very own, my treasured possession, a people that would love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind. My call for repentance and forgiveness went out into the whole world. And this is the gospel that you have heard, and that which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Even from the creation of the world, my invisible qualities, my eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Even though creation declared and my gospel called, men refused to repent. So my own hand worked salvation for them. On the day of your salvation, I am the one who helped you. I brought you into my kingdom, my church, as a safe haven, and rescued you from the power of darkness, the bondage of sin, and I drew you out of Satan's dominion. From the beginning, my people have been tormented by the wickedness of the world around them and the evil schemes of the devil. Consider my faithful servant Lot, who also stands before you today. He also had to deal with the filth of sin. He was a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. He was a righteous man, and he lived among them day after day. He was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he witnessed and heard. Consider my faithful servant David, another who stands before you now. He also suffered because of the sin that plagues the hearts of men. He was often surrounded by wicked men, and he truly suffered in his body and soul. I moved in him. And by my hand he wrote many psalms regarding the afflictions he himself went through, which testify to the cruelty of mankind. Listen to the words of his mouth, the prayers of his lips, when in great tribulation he cried out to me, "Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from evildoers, and save me from bloodthirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine. O Lord, I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight." The Lord began to walk forward, and Jonathan watched him cross what seemed to be a sea of deep blue glass in front of his throne. His walk was that of a majestic king, high and exalted, and the train of his robe flowed behind him, and it seemed to cover the sea of glass. He noticed that high above the Lord, seraphs were flying. Each of them had six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with the other two, they were flying. They cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the hall was filled with smoke. As quickly as the smoke came, It began to rise up toward this endless ceiling, and it then disappeared into the great expanse. As he walked across the sea of glass, suddenly the father appeared beside his son, and they walked together. As they were walking, fire and wind seemed to flow out from the both of them, and it surrounded them as if it were part of them. At that point, all of heaven was silent, and no movement could be seen in the entire hall. Everyone watched as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost crossed the sea of glass and stopped before the great multitude. Jonathan thought, "There is no way to describe what I am witnessing. It is beyond my comprehension." He knew he could never describe what it was like seeing the fullness, completeness, and oneness of the triune Godhead to any earthly bound human. The great shepherd of the sheep spoke with gentle words and with great compassion. He said, "The wicked of that world had also laid a trap for me." As he said this, he pulled back the sleeves of his majestic robe and showed the great congregation the scars the nails had made. Jonathan whispered, "His love would have held them there." He then showed the scars the whips had made. Someone next to Jonathan whispered, "By his stripes, we are healed." And then he showed the scars upon his brow that the crown of thorns had made. Then many of the saints said quietly, "It should have been the royal one made of jewels and gold instead." He then showed the scar on his side, the one that the spear had made. The whole congregation whispered, "They will look upon the one they have pierced." The Lord spoke quietly, and the words seemed to press themselves on every heart. "It was my great desire and delight to save. It was in my heart to redeem you with a mighty hand. I want you to know that no one took my life from me, but I laid it down freely of my own accord. I had authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. I gave myself willingly into their hands, and they did all that they desired to the Son of Man. If this is how they treated me, your Lord, they certainly have treated you in the same way. The wicked have always stood against the righteous and even pursued them to death. Consider my servant Stephen, who also stands before you now. They persecuted him and stoned him. They have persecuted my people throughout the ages. Centuries ago, I let my faithful servant John see the souls under the altar, those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. John saw them and heard them cry out, 'How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?' I then gave them white robes and told them to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been completed. Finally, the day of my promise came, the day of relief, the day of my coming. It was a day that will be in your hearts and minds for eternity. For it was the day I fulfilled my promise to return and take you where I am. It was a day of vengeance for the wicked and a day of salvation for the righteous. Many of you saw way too much suffering, and you prayed that I would take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. I answered those prayers the day I returned. Justice has been paid in full to the wicked and reconciliation has been given in full to the righteous. I said to you then, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I was zealous for that day when you would be with me. And now that day of fulfillment has come. It was the day that I answered all your hopes and dreams. My beloved, your prayers were never in vain. I heard all your cries, counted all your tears, and marked down all your afflictions. Nothing you went through escaped my loving gaze. It was always in my heart to free you completely from all the pains of that fallen world. I wanted to remove the sadness, loneliness, and affliction you encountered from the snares of that old world. All of you have this in common. In your sadness, loneliness, and pain, you have loved me and remained faithful till the end. My desire has always been to join all my people together, the saints in the heavenly kingdom with the saints in the earthly kingdom. I wanted to open the shepherd's gate and lead my sheep into the eternal dwelling, making them into one fold, one church, and one kingdom. It was also your heavenly Father's desire to unite the church, for he desires to lavish on you the riches of the kingdom, for you are his beloved children. When I came for you, my bride, it was indeed a great and glorious day. I found many of you ready with your lamps trimmed and burning, while others were not prepared and escaped through the flames. I am the bridegroom, and you are my beloved bride, and I have carried you home to be by my side. You can see today that I have never abandoned you, but that I protected and cared for you until the very end. I have given you eternal life, and I promised you would not perish, and that no one could snatch you out of my hands. When you wandered away, I pursued you. When you fell, I picked you up. I carried you with my everlasting arms, holding you close to my heart. I pursued you because I love you. You are mine, and I am yours. There was a pause for a moment, during which Jesus looked out among the vast multitude. He let his eyes slowly move over them. Everyone had the sensation that he was looking at each of them personally. They saw in his eyes a love that they knew could never be extinguished. His eyes spoke silently to each and every person, telling each of them that they were accepted in the Beloved. Jesus then raised his hands and blessed the multitude. As he did this, his countenance began to change with an ever-increasing glory. The Father's love also burst forth and was shining like the noonday sun. Their glory continued to grow brighter and brighter, and it began to flood the massive hall with a dazzling white light that not only could be seen, but felt. Everything and everyone was illuminated by his glory. Even the great heights of the expanse above grew brighter and brighter. They slowly began to rise above the great assembly. Every hand was raised to block the brightness of the light, and every eye squinted as the glory increased. They all watched as the Lord rose higher and higher and higher. Wind and fire suddenly came forth from their presence and filled the entire assembly. The Holy Spirit took what was said and seen and began applying it to the hearts of the people. With a final parting word, the Lord said, "Go forth and share with each other what you heard today. Share with each other your stories about the great and glorious day of the Lord. Remember to entertain strangers, your brothers and sisters you have not yet met. You will hear one amazing story after another." Music began quietly and grew slowly in intensity. Jonathan began to sing a familiar song, and as he sang, the Holy Spirit moved to sing with his whole heart and soul. It was as if the Spirit himself was singing from somewhere deep within him. Their songs of praise rose up before the throne like a fragrant offering, holy and pleasing to the Lord. As the service ended, it seemed that every mind was turned to where they were at the second coming. Jonathan knew that millions and millions of stories were about to be told. Many people would be gathering with families, friends, and strangers. Jonathan left the massive hall and wondered with whom he would be sharing his story.